bracelets on. They do all those other things to try to get people to remember, what would Jesus do? And it begins with this. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it begins, what would Jesus think? How would Jesus react? What would Jesus think about a certain situation in order to determine what we are going to do? And here in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 8, you see the mind of Christ when he came to this earth. And there's three different points in this part that I think we can pull out of here, this mind of Christ and what Christ's mind was similar to. Here in verse Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to start in verse number 5, a wonderful passage of Scripture. I know you've heard me teach about it before, but just a reminder here of some Christ-like characters that have the Christ-like mind. Here in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the service, the message this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for everyone that's here. And Lord, I pray for all the Sunday school classes around the church building and even, Lord, the Sunday school classes throughout the world that's going on probably right now or getting ready to start or has already started. Lord, we pray that today be a special day, Lord, that you gain much ground and for your kingdom and, Lord, that you speak to many hearts through Spirit-filled preaching. But, Lord, help us not to be worried or concerned with all the different things that are going on in the world today. But instead, Lord, help us focus in on this lesson and this passage of Scripture. And, Lord, you speak to our hearts in a special way. Lord, we all need to have victory in our Christian lives. And, Lord, it begins with our thoughts. It begins with the intents of our heart. And, Lord, help us to have the same mind of Christ that he had when he came to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Some different things I want you to see about the mind of Christ. First is a mind of selflessness. A mind of selflessness. And this is great that, in fact, it was just around Christmas that Jesus Christ is God. He has always been and always will be. But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? It means that because he was God, he knew it was not robbery. When Jesus Christ claimed to be God, many thought that he was being blasphemous. But and he thought they plotted to kill him, but he was merely just telling the truth. He says it in John 1:1, in the beginning the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, when he came to this world, he did not come to a great palace. He did not come with this great reputation. He did not come with people already knowing who he was. He says, but made himself of no reputation. And this is a contrast to what's going on in this day that we live in. You think about this mentality, this climb the ladder success syndrome that exists today. You think about men are constantly lying. They're adding to their resume. They're adding to their credentials just to try to impress someone else. Young people even cheat sometimes just to try to get grades that they're not worthy of. Many adults lie about their past, lie about their age. Anybody ever done that? Lie about their weight. Who cares about your weight? Lie about many, many different things. They want to appear smarter. They want to appear younger or older, depending on what your age is. More experience. Because after all, in their mind, perception is everything. But see, that's not what Christ did when he came here. When Christ came, he took upon the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have to come to the realization it's not about us and not about how good we can make ourselves look. It's about what we can make, how good we can make Christ look in our lives. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have to realize that we might sometimes have to be selfless and not worrying about ourselves, but instead worrying about what God desires for our life. One of the greatest dangers of our life is ourself. It was once said, standing between us and eternal success is self. See, we are our own worst enemy. D.L. Moody once said, the man I fear the most is the man who walks underneath this hat. Abraham Lincoln tells in a story one time that a reporter tells him, he says, the reporter asked him a question. He says, is there anyone in this upcoming election that you fear? Lincoln thought for a moment. He said, yes, one. The reporter was surprised, and since he was doing it very well in the polls, he said, really? Which one do you fear? Lincoln said, I fear a man named Lincoln. If I am defeated in this election, it will be by a man named Lincoln.
And in our Christian life, God has given us so many opportunities. He's given us an opportunity to succeed because He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us prayer. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're going to fail in our Christian lives, it's going to be because of what we've done. We like to blame it on everyone else. We like to blame it on society. We like to blame it and just pushing it some other way. But it is self that causes us to fall. First in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, the Bible says, "This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." He say, there's a long list there, and I agree on chapter 3, verses 1-2, I think it even goes down to verse 3, there's a long list of different things, but where does it start with? It starts right here, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, when God defines the last days, He does not speak of crime. He does not speak of war. He does not speak of same-gender marriages. The last days will be characterized by selfishness. You know, you say, "Pastor, but what about the wars? What about the crimes? What about homosexuality? What about this and what about this?" See, that's where it comes. It starts right here. When men stop loving God more than themselves, everything's wide open. When they start worshiping the creature more than the creator is when we have the problems. And if we really truly want to have victory in our thought lives, if we really truly want to make a difference in this world, we must learn to have the mind of Christ, and we must be aware of one of the greatest dangers that we have, and that is ourself. We must learn to die to self. The Bible talked about crucifying self, talked about dying to our own desires, and instead trying to have the mind of Christ. But what is one of our greatest honors? Here in this story, it talks about how Jesus Christ did not come to this world for himself, but he took on the form of, even though he was God, he made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Why would he do that? It's because of our great need. He wanted to give us the opportunity of salvation. And to save us, he gives us a great honor. He said, what is that great honor? One of our greatest honors, I believe, is to please the Lord. It's to glorify God. Perhaps the greatest compliment ever given to the Lord Jesus Christ was given by Paul, who said, "For even Christ pleased not himself." Say, Pastor, aren't I supposed to try to make myself happy and please myself with the things I do? The greatest joy you're going to have in your life is serving God. And the Bible saying here is that Jesus Christ himself did not please himself. It was meaning that he was not fulfilling his own selfish lust. He was not doing the things that he wanted to do. He, remember, he was God, and but he was just as much man, and he had the opportunity to sin, but because he was God, he never did sin. He stayed away from the temptation. Not one single day of his eternal existence was ever lived for himself. Look what it says in John 8:29. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." I mean, that's awesome. You think about every part of his life was about pleasing the Father. And this is the mind of Christ. This is selflessness. This is saying, it's not about me, it's about what God wants me to do. But the sad reality, most of our lives are characterized in Philippians 2:21, when it says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." You know, here is the truth is, we should desire to have the mind of Christ. We should want to think like God. And how do we get there? It's in His Word. It's by communing with God. It's about learning God. It's about being Spirit-filled and letting our thoughts and intents of the heart be towards God. And here in the Bible is saying, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We can have this type of mind in our hearts and in our lives, but it begins with a mind of selflessness. But it doesn't just stay with the mind of selflessness. It doesn't just stay with not wanting to please ourselves with our lives, but instead wanting to please God. There is a mind of service too. The mind of service. The Bible says in Philippians 2:7, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." He didn't come as king. Someday he will come as king in the second coming, but he came this time and he took on the form of a servant. And one of the greatest opportunities we have is to serve. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." And you know, some of us will become poor or do things for a little while so we can be benefiting later on in life. That's not what happened here. Christ did not need to do anything for himself, but for our sakes, he became poor. that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was thinking of you when he came. He loved the world. Because he loved the world, he came. And the Bible says in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So many people in this world and day that we live in, they're all about serving. But the serving is, how can I get people to serve me? How can I get people to listen to me? How can I get people to do what I want them to do? And the truth of the matter is, we must learn to give over to God what his desire is for our life. Dr. John Getch, I like the quote he had here. He says, did you know one of the greatest goals we could have in our lives is to be a servant? We are to have Christ's mind, and his mind was to serve. He says, I tell our college students, this is from West Coast Baptist College students often, that when they graduate, they ought to go out and find the lowest rung on the ladder. In a world where everyone is climbing the ladder of success, there won't be much competition for the bottom rung. He said, grab the place of lowly service and hang on, because one day God is going to turn the ladder around and you're going to be up top, because those that are servant. The Bible says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, if we really want to have the mind of Christ, we have to set aside ourselves and we have to say, okay, Christ came to serve others. It wasn't about what people can give me or what I can get people to do. Instead, it was what we could do to help others. And this is what Christ did when he came. He came and helped others with the greatest needs. Albert Einstein once said, it is high time that the idea of success should be replaced with the idea of service. Too many people spell service, serve us, instead of service. Someone has said the best service for our hearts is to bend down several times a day to help someone else. You may say, I don't have any talent or ability, but God is not looking for ability. God is looking for availability. He's looking for pliability. He's looking for dependability. And even though we sometimes like to sit, soak, and sour, God did not save us to be like that. He did not save us to have an attitude and do things our own way. He did not save us to sit up there and have someone else wait on us hand and foot. He did not save us so that way we can get everything we want. He saved us so we could be a servant like Jesus Christ did. He teaches us that if we really truly want to be first, we must learn to humble ourselves. And if we really want to have victory in our thought lives and we really want to have the mind of Christ, it begins with a mind of selflessness. It's not about me. It's not always about what I want and what I desire, but instead is having a mind of service. And you say, Pastor, that just does not sound very much fun. Well, it's one of the greatest opportunities that we have, and what it does, it produces one of our greatest joys. It produces one of our greatest joys. I cannot tell you, I mean, if you go back and you think about your life, what is some of the greatest moments of your life? Or what are some of the greatest service times that you had? It wasn't many times when someone was up and they were lifting you up and magnifying you. Many times what I've enjoyed most in my ministry is when I had the opportunity to be a servant to somebody else. When I can go and be a blessing to someone that's in a hospital, or go visit a widow lady or older person, or when I have the chance to actually go into a family who's lost a loved one and offer some comfort and offer some hope and just be able to be a blessing. I tell you, those are some of the most joyous times that I have ever had in my life. Some of the most fulfilling times is when I have given God everything and said, God, okay, I don't really have time for this, but there is a need here. Let me stop what I'm doing to try to be a blessing to somebody else. Those are many times the greatest moments of service. It's what the Bible even tells us. The Bible says that here in John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There's joy in the Christian life that's found in serving. Even a songwriter wrote, there's joy in serving Jesus. Jesus did not promise joy to those who simply know the Bible. He promises you joy to those who do what they know. I think one preacher put it this way, and I'm not quoting it perfectly, but great revival would happen in our churches if everybody would do just what they know they're supposed to do. Or even to take a step farther, great revival would happen if everybody would do just what they promised God they would do. in their lives. Just promising, hey, I promise God I'm going to be a soul winner. I promise God I'm going to read my Bible. I promise God I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a better husband, better wife, better son, better daughter. I promise, if we would just learn simple obedience. You can memorize over 31,000 verses in the Bible, but they won't make you happy until you're willing to do those things. Karl Marx, and most of us know who Karl Marx is, he actually had the entire New Testament memorized. He had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John memorized as a teenager. He could recite them perfectly in public, but he died an atheist. It's not just about knowing the scriptures. And once again, if you know them and you do them, the Bible says that that's when you'll find happiness, and that's when you'll find your greatest joy, is when you're serving. I don't know about you. I like getting gifts. But the reaction of giving a gift and giving to someone else and seeing the reaction of someone's heart and their thought that they're excited about something they received, boy, that outweighs it. I mean, there is nothing more valuable in our lives than just getting this mentality. It's not about me, but I can serve God. And how can I serve God? And as I serve God, man, it will bring joy into our lives. Now, we need to be careful. Because of the fact that sometimes people are out there serving and they're unhappy because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. I tell you, you can be miserable if you're trying to preach or teach and you got something wrong. You got some type of sin in your life. You got something in your heart. You know you're not, even though you're serving it, but you're just doing for the wrong reasons. Maybe doing it for show. Maybe doing feeling out of obligation. That's the type of service you have. You can say, there's no joy in that. There isn't joy in that. But the joy begins with selflessness and then begins with your ministry and serving. The third thing, and we need to move quickly here, is a mind of submission. A mind of submission. Here in Philippians 2:8, the Bible says, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we think about the mind of Christ, we see that there is a mind of submission. That he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the Christ, death of the cross. And think of some of the other things that Jesus said. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This was submission here. He says, look, this is my desire, my meat, talking about the things that causes him to continue on, his strength. This is his focus. Look what he says here in 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, this is submitting to God's desires for your life. This is the mind of Christ, is that he submitted to what was wanted by his heavenly Father. And I guess we come to the question and we ask ourselves, are you willing to do what God asks you to do? Are you willing to do anything God asks you to do? Or the other thought is there anything that you're unwilling to do? See, if there's something that you're just not willing to do, and I could throw out tons of different things and little illustration, you know, is it coming to church? Is it giving? Is it soul winning? But you know what the things you struggle with is. The Holy Spirit of God can take that and point it right to your heart and say, you don't need me to give you examples. Unless you become hard-hearted and cold-hearted about things so much that you don't think there's any problems in your life. But the Holy Spirit of God can point to you and says, this is what you're not willing to do. As I was reading my devotions this morning, there's lots of different things I do in my devotion time or try to do. One of them is I open up the daily in the Word, and I saw this quote from Jonathan Edwards today, and I thought it was really good. I thought it went along with our lesson this morning. Listen to what it says. He says, I've given myself clear away and not retained anything of my own. I have been to God this morning and told him I have given myself wholly to him. I have given every power, so that for the future I claim no right to myself in any respect. I have expressly promised him, for by his grace I will not fail. I take him as my whole portion and felicity, looking upon nothing else as any part of my happiness. His law is the constant rule of my obedience. And I thought about that and I was thinking, boy, that applies probably to all three of the points today about being, having the mind of submission and having the mind of a servant or service, having that mind of Christ in our lives. As you know, he's been, and I love the way he phrases it. He says, and I know this is not the Bible, this is a man, but as a godly man, he says, I've been to God. He says, I've been there today. I've already been there and I already told him, hey, whatever it is that you want, I'm up for. And he continue on. He says, I will take in my whole portion of felicity, looking upon nothing else as my part of my happiness. He says, I'm just going to find happiness in doing Christ's service for him. And I'm going to find my happiness in God. And you say, Pastor, how in the world do you ever get to the point where you're able to write those things and actually live that type of life? And it begins right here with simple daily obedience. Most Christians' lives are not major confrontations with evil and mountaintop spiritual experiences. Most of the Christian life is simple, just daily obedience, doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. When we make the commitment to do what God tells us to do and follow it day by day, our lives will be pleasing in His sight. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus and commit to following Him, we will stay on track until we reach that goal. And our goal is to be like Christ. 1 John 3:3, the Bible says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure." You know, and this is the three main points of our lessons was, ask him to give you a brainwash. You know, many times our brains have become so dirty and so filthy. We need to clean it out with the Word of God. And then we need to keep the brain door closed. There are certain things we do not need to look at, listen to. There are certain things that we went over, those four different things that we could just need to shut the door and say, I'm not going to allow that in my mind. I'm not going to allow that in my thought process. And then we ask him to enable you to be under his mind control. He said, mind control, you mean like brainwashed. You know what? We're going to be servants to one thing or another. Either we're going to serve our flesh or we're going to serve God. Either we're going to serve the devil or we're going to serve God. And we need to learn that it is much better to be under the influence of the Bible than under the influence of ourself and under the influence of flesh. You'll be more of the person God wants you to be. Because remember, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as we get ready to close this up, I don't want you to think, get the wrong expression or wrong interest here. This beginning time and this talking about having victory in your thought life is something that goes along with your sanctification. It's something you have to get in control of. And it is hard work because there are so many things we need to challenge in our own mind and our own mindset, because selfishness is something that's our flesh and our nature that we've gotten so used to. It's always about taking care of me. It's always about taking care of myself. It's always getting people to look to me. And that's what the Bible's saying. The mind of Christ, he was willing to take upon no reputation. And then you say, well, I can serve if I get to do what I want. I can serve if it's to the people I like. I can serve if I get benefit out of it. No, the Bible says that he took on the form of a servant. He thought not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and came in the form of a servant. And he says, well, I'll obey when I think it's beneficial. That's not it. He became obedient, not just obedient to anything. The Bible says he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. I mean, this is where we have victory at. This is where we get to the point in our Christian lives where we can actually have victory in our thought lives. When we become mighty through God is when we allow him to work. I know it's been 12 weeks and we're looking at our thought lives. And next week we're going to start another series that's going to have a little bit something to do with it, but going to spring off of this, that you can have victory even in those areas of our lives that for so long we have allowed to be a stronghold. And how we can even pull down those sins that maybe have been there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years that we've been dealing with for our whole entire lives. But we can bring and pull down those strongholds. We can have victory in it. But it begins with our thought lives. We need to realize God created our mind. We need to realize some other things about it, that we need to change our mind. We realize a lot of different things, and we need to understand there are certain things we need to close the doors to. We need to keep out of our thoughts, keep out of our minds. And then we must learn that let God control our minds. We must be guided by a conformed mind, guided by a Christ-like mind. These are the things we need to let have preeminence in our thoughts, in our minds. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for today. I am thankful for the people that are here. Lord, we love to celebrate Christmas. But Lord, when we come to Philippians 2:5-8, and we see what you did for us, and what the true Christmas story is all about, Lord, how it is a mind of submission and selflessness and a mind of service. And Lord, how we ourselves can have that mind. Lord, it seems so impossible. It seems so far-fetched. It seems like an unattainable goal. But Lord, we know that through your scripture, we can become mighty through God. We know that you can teach us and guide us and show us and direct us. And Lord, I pray you help us. I pray we take the series that we've learned and that we just take these things and apply it to our hearts and lives, that we realize we can have victory and how we need to dig into God's Word and make it part of our lives, make it our desire so we can become more like You and, Lord, have victory once and for all with our thought life. Help us never forget that just that what we think in our hearts, Lord, that's what we're going to become. Lord, help us never just say, oh, no one sees my thoughts, no one knows about my worries, no one sees my anxieties, my fear, my anger. I'm not going to deal with them. Help us, if anything else, Lord, to repent of those things and work towards having a mind that is pleasing to God. Lord, give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.